isn't here, and we're thankful for that. It's good to see your smiles, your joy, and most of all, your love that you have one for another. If you're visiting with us, I want to echo what's already been said. We so much appreciate you being here with us this morning. We're glad that you've chosen to visit with us. I'd like to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to look at some verses from the Old Testament and learn what we can learn. And as you can see from the title, the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And here we are, right? Not at the beginning. That will soon be upon us for a new year. But we're at the end. Now, how many of you feel like that this year was the Indianapolis 500 and it went by like the winner passed by the audience, watches from the stands? Yeah, right? Someone says the older you get, the faster it goes. I guess it does. But that reminds us that this world is one day going to come to an end. Days will quit ticking. Time will quit going around the clock. And we're going to have the opportunity to be with God for an eternity. And this morning we want you to think about that and how important that is to your future. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, we have to keep in mind that those things that were written, this is the New Testament, those things that were written in the Old Testament aforetime were written for our learning. And that's why it's important for us to go back and to look at things that have been said and see what that means for us. Because as you look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, those things were written that we benefit, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And that's what we want to have, isn't it? And I hope you have that hope this morning. I hope you're looking forward to eternity. Because we know one day that the beginning and the end of the year is going to be no longer. So we want you prepared. So verse 8, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, God says to His people of old. God wants His people to keep in their minds and their hearts that He is the one that gave them the owner's manual. He is the one who is directing them in the way of prosperity. And so He says, I say, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go and possess the land which you cross over to possess. God brought His people out of Egypt, go into the land of Canaan, which was a land that He was going to give them. And He says in verse 9 that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. God has a beautiful land prepared for His people. Verse 11 goes on, but the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land, verse 12, for which the Lord your God cares. Excuse me. And then He goes on and He says, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. Notice He says, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. What a land God prepares for His people. But more significantly is there some facts noted about what God says here in reference to that land and also to their journey that is vital for our understanding. It's one of those things that you and I can learn from. Now as we think about it, here we are, January 2019, and we're sitting on top of the end of December. And you go, wow, what happened? Where'd it go? By the way, how many of you are sitting a little heavier today than you did in January 2019 besides me? Yeah, Josh says I did. He grew. And Jack grew also. It's amazing to watch these kids keep growing up and getting heavier. And they're sitting in the pew and taking up more room. Of course, we won't talk anymore about me. But it's amazing as we think about how fast and how quickly time goes from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. But there's something significant that we read about in Deuteronomy that is even more important. And that is about what God does for His people. Now, how many of you have seen some cards that looked like this back in the first of the year, January? Wish you and your family a joyful, bright, healthy, prosperous, and happy new year ahead. You remember those cards? And when you think about it, as we look back to those messages that were given to us, how many of you did have a happy new year? Come on, only three of you? Yeah. One sentiment that was written that I want to share with you is written on the bottom of this. I'll try to blow it up so you can see it. It says, a new year offers you 365 blank pages. Write the most beautiful chapter of your life. And then I like the last line, Happy New Year, cutie pie. What did you write on your pages? You go, wow. You see, we write our own book, don't we? Kathy doesn't write my book, and it's a good thing. And I don't write hers. I don't write yours. I write mine. What was our lives like 365 days from the beginning of the year to the end? How many of us, over those 365 days of every year that we've lived, thought about the fact that we live in a land like the people of old? In a land that we can speak of in a sense that they could speak of, in the fact that it's a land for which your God cares. And we'll see why in just a moment. That's what is told to those people of old. They're going to go into a land, the land of Canaan, for which the Lord your God cares. And that word cares is an interesting word because it means that God's in action. It's a verb. It's not a emotion. It's an action of God. It's a word which means that God is going to seek, to consult, to inquire of that land. In other words, He's going to pay special attention to that land. It's used in Job chapter 3 and verse 4. May that day be darkness. May God above not seek it. It's a land that God seeks. When we read it in Deuteronomy 11 verse 12. The Lord your God cares. He sees the land. He seeks out the land. He pays special attention to the land. And there's a reason for it. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But keep that in mind. It is a land that God is looking upon. Why? Because it's going to be a possession of His people. Verse 10, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. How many of you have carried water out to guard your garden instead of the hose nearby? Or maybe you had a hose coming out of the side of the house, but you watered the bucket and carried it over and you watered your garden. You did it consistently, particularly flower gardens. That was Egypt. They had to go down to the Nile. They had to bring up the water and they had to make sure they watered and fertilized or watered the fertile fields that surrounded the Nile. But this land's different. It's going to be a land, verse 11 says, when you cross over to possess the land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land for which the Lord your God cares. God's eyes are upon that land. God is there to take note of the land, to pay attention to that land. What's God doing for it? He's watering it so it can be fruitful. In Psalm 65, verse 9, the psalmist writes, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for you so have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. That's God paying attention to His land. And there's a reason for it. God cares. And God cares specifically for His people. That is why He took care of the land of Canaan. That's why He paid that special attention to it. Because of people. And who are the people? They are God's people. A land for which the Lord your God cares. Notice Deuteronomy 11 verse 13. And it shall be that you earnestly obey. And as you look at this, you can see from here, I'm going to blow it up just a little bit, I think. You notice that I have darkened the you. Clearly, God is looking after His people, the you. It shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain, the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, your oil, and I will send grass in your fields for your livestock. And you'll notice I highlighted the year right there before livestock. How many of you are beef eaters? Yeah, you remember that commercial from Wendy's, Where's the Beef? Here in the Midwest, we're beef eaters, a good majority of us, right? And notice he says that you may eat and be filled. How many of you ate too much the last few days? Hey, we got some honest, admitting people right here, don't we? Pastor's over there laughing at Thad. I don't know how much Thad ate. Lot, yeah. But you may eat and be filled. That word filled means to be satisfied. Every desire, in a sense, is satisfied when it comes to God filling His people. Because the word means to have one's fill. And that's a good translation. And I like the King James in Jeremiah 44:17. It says, "For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well and saw no evil." How many of you had your plenty of victuals? Why? Because God has blessed us with the ability to eat our satisfaction, to eat our fill, to be satisfied and filled with food. And so as we look back, how many of you did have plenty of victuals over this year from beginning in January to December? And you might be thinking, yeah, look at the preacher. God bless me. God has blessed us abundantly. And we do many times get to eat plenty of victuals. And then we get on the scale and it tells us just how much of that eating we've done. Because we live in a land of plenty, don't we? And God is telling the people of old that He cares for them and He takes care of the land so they can be satisfied. Psalm 65, verse 11, the psalmist writes, "You crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance." That was the message to God's people. That was a message to those who did pay attention to the commandments and live according to what God has said. And then with that, He promises them that His eyes are upon the land. Verse 11, Deuteronomy. "But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares." Then note, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. How many of you slept pretty good last night? How many of you didn't sleep so good at all? How many of you wish you had more sleep? God doesn't sleep. While we were sleeping, somebody was praying. And who was answering? Who was listening? God. And that is so dramatic when you read these words. "The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. From the beginning of the year to the very end of the year." We have a God that stays up for His people from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year and promises us that His eyes are on His land and not only that, on His people. How do I know that? Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And that's not just the actions. That's those who perform the actions. God is looking. His eyes are upon the world. He doesn't sleep. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Do you see that? Yes, God's looking at good and evil, but notice that this passage brings home the fact that the Almighty God is there for His people. He's there to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. How many of us had pages that our lives wrote this last year that were on days that we wished the Lord wasn't looking? Did you have days you kind of forgot that the Lord was keeping watch? Then how many of us had pages that we wrote that were thankful God was looking, that He was blessing us upon that day and the days to follow? Yeah. That's God who shows Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, 1 Peter 3, verse 12 declares. This is New Testament. And His ears are open to their prayers. So as we look back to the Old Testament and think about the things that we've learned, here's the application by Peter. God's looking at His people. His eyes are on the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. And then sadly, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It doesn't take much reading of that to figure out which line we want in. We don't want in the line of the evil. We want in the line of the righteous. Why? Because we have God showing Himself strong for His people. There's a fascination with the things of God as you study the Old Testament. We learn a lot that helps us understand the New Testament. And I hope you have that fascination, that you have that heart that says, I want to know all I can about God. Verse 12 says something very significant. A land for which the Lord your God cares, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end. There's no other time, is there? There's not a day that God's going to take off, is there? From the beginning to the end. What happens when we reach the end? We start a new beginning if the Lord allows us to live. There's no day off for God. He's there for us 24-7, from the beginning to the end. Then Exodus 3, verse 14. We learn that clearly God is for His children. God said to Moses, I am who I am. When Moses was inquiring as to who he should say is sending him to Egypt, God says clearly, I am. He wants Moses to know that there's only one significant answer, and that is the eternal, existing, almighty God of heaven. I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Interesting, in John 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Who was there in the beginning? When God said, let us make man in our own image. Christ, the Godhead, God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I remember as the older brother, I was there to protect and watch out for my younger brothers, especially at school, when they might have been confronted by a bully. Now, it might be me most of the time picking on him, but when it comes to somebody else, Rick was going to stand up. And I think they took advantage of the fact that they had an older brother. And so they figured, I've got their back. Now, there was a few times that I didn't have their back because I simply said, you deserve what you're going to get. Folks, the Almighty God of heaven exists for His people. Now, that doesn't mean we earned that, does it? It doesn't mean that we create God, does it? It means that God, as the creator of us, says, I've got your back. I exist. I am who I am. God is the great I am. And I want you now to turn to Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. Because if we think about the pages we write, God has written us a message. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, God is for His children. Why? Because He says, you are mine. Not me, but someone else entitled Isaiah 43, 1 through 7 as a personal message from the Creator to the creature. And I am so glad we have that message. Verse 1, God is for His children, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel. And look at this. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. As most of us know that have studied Isaiah significantly, we know that much of what Isaiah says is in reference to the church that was to be established by the coming of our Lord. And even though it is speaking, O Jacob and O Israel, we're going to see reference to a later time. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. What redeemed God's people today? The blood of Christ. Because the Christ that paid the price for sin went to the cross. And notice once again, He says, you are mine. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. You see, God is the protector of His people. He is there watching over His children. Then, significantly, verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. And then notice these words, your Savior. Powerful words. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. And I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, I am with you. What a message to think about as we consider our lives from beginning to the end of the year. And particularly we look, if the Lord allows us to live another year. What a message that God considers His people precious. That God is there with His love for His people. And clearly we know the full impact of that wonderful love when Jesus died on that cross. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hebrews 11 verse 5 speaks to us in the New Testament. For He Himself, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. That's the confidence and that's the courage that we can have because we know that no matter what this life throws at us, we've got a God who loves His people, who's there for His people. Let's look back a little bit. How many of you went through the entire year from beginning to end? Well, we're almost to the end. So something could change quickly. But How many of you went thus far the entire year from the beginning to where we're at right now without experiencing any trials or troubles? I'm glad I'm not saying please sit down, because I think probably all of us would stand up, right? Life throws us some trials and trouble. It's not something we look forward to, but it's the reality, isn't it? But looking back to last year, think about some of those things that we were challenged with. How many of you experienced a condition like you see in the slide here? Kathy and I are glad we have Auto Club, because these things happen, don't they? How about this? Anybody go through this? Some of you did. It's amazing how when this occurs, your vehicle doesn't look the same as it did before. Just a reminder, we just never know when something is going to happen that puts us in a position of a challenge. Now, how many of you have experienced something like this? This morning I asked Kathy, I really like this picture. Maybe I shouldn't, but anyway, there's something in this medical professional's hand, and y'all can explain this to me that no. And I hope it's not something real personal. I just noted that it was something real big. And whatever it is, I don't want it near me. Because even when they come at me with those little syringes with the needle on them, enough. I don't like experiencing that, but how many of you did? They'll say things like, I'm going to stick you, it won't hurt. It won't hurt them. Did me. Yeah. We've experienced some trials through the year. How many of you found yourself in a hospital bed this last year? Several. It happens. How many of you experienced this? I know it. You didn't die because you're still sitting in the pew. But you attended a funeral. Maybe somebody close to you. You lost somebody. It creates its challenges, doesn't it, for our lives? Because we do go through trial and trouble. But notice what James says very quickly in verse 2. Count it all joy. How can we? How can we look at someone we love laying in a casket or be told by a doctor, you have cancer? Or your loved one has cancer? Or you've got this condition or that condition, and by the way, be real careful because you might die tomorrow. And of course, we're prepared for heaven, and that's okay, but still, we have this longing to be with those we love or to hang on to those we love. So how can we count it all joy? You know, don't you? What's been the message that God has given us from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? I am. And who is I am? I am is the God of heaven who cares for His people. And so when we're tested and tried, when we have to go through things we'd rather not face, we can do it knowing we can do it with joy because we have a God who cares for His people. Why is that important? Because, folks, we need to know that to make sure we're encouraged to be on God's side. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, Isaiah 43, verse 3. Israel didn't have anything to look forward to but Jesus. And now we can look back and say, yes, Jesus died on that cross for me and for His people. And we want to be a part of God's people, don't we? Is there any other choice? No. No other choice. Except the bad one. And that's why this morning this lesson means so much, because you see, God is there as Savior. Notice in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 11, therefore you shall love the Lord your God. You see, that's the therefore. Here's the conclusion that began at the beginning of chapter 11. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God. How can we love God when we consider all that He's done for us? And then what follows? And keep His charge, His statutes, His judgment, His commandments always. That's our challenge as we look to the new year. We want to do what God wants us to do. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today. And then verse 7, but your eyes have seen the very great act of the Lord which He did. We can see what God's done for His people. Therefore, we can say, yes, I want the therefore. I want to do what God wants me to do. And then we go all the way to the New Testament. 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome or grievous, the King James says. In other words, God's not put something on us we can't bear. He's given us something to delight in, knowing that He is there with us. And so therefore, we commit ourselves to do what God wants us to do, to keep the law of Christ. Because we know that God is there for His people. This morning, can you claim that you're part of God's family? Can you claim this morning that you're of the people of God? That you're one of those that God cares for because you have committed your life to Him and you trust that He's there for you. If not, this morning we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation song, and we want to encourage you. If you know this morning that you're outside of Christ and that you need to obey the gospel, we want you to know this morning's the time. The baptismal water is there. If you need that, don't walk away from here this morning without God on your side, because He cares for His people. This morning, if we can assist you in any ways, we stand and sing. Would you please make that known? Why not come?